the harvest is ripe, but the laborers are few. Why did he use that word?
God goes to extreme measures to bring the lost to himself.
The greatest gift you will ever give this world is your intimacy with God.
The Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit are all three inside of me. I've got the power right now.
I think what Jesus really wants is people to go. I want to be the answer to Jesus' prayer request.
Welcome to the Fuel for the Harvest podcast.
When this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world, then shall the end come.
Hey everyone, and welcome to this latest episode of Fuel for the Harvest. This is Nathan.
And this is Charlie. We're your hosts for today. And we are coming to you from somewhere in East Africa and really excited to be with some friends of ours, Scott and Cassie.
Hello.
Hello everyone.
Thanks for joining, guys. So why don't you just tell us a little bit about yourselves?
Thank you, Charlie. Yeah, my name's Scott. This is my wife, Cassie, and we live and work here in East Africa, and we call from Colorado. This is where we call home in the States.
Good state, by the way.
Yeah. Love that state.
Yeah. Love those mountains. Yeah, and we've been working here in East Africa with an unreached people group, and are now just at the tail end of handing it all off to the nationals to operate and run, which is quite amazing to see.
Yeah, now we're going to be pushing on to focus on the other unreached people groups here in East Africa and looking to use nationals and Western missionaries to bring the gospel to those that don't have it.
So when you guys say unreached, what's your definition of unreached?
Is that like my neighbor in Colorado who's like, he's not a Christian, is he unreached?
Yeah, there's a little bit of differences there. These folks don't actually have access to the gospel or to a Bible or any biblical knowledge that's truthful. There's a lot of false teachings out there and false religion that is leading people astray that is not biblically sound. And so we would call tribes or large groups of people that don't have the gospel or access to it or any knowledge of what salvation means as an unreached people group. Yeah.
So basically, we might use the term under-evangelized for a neighbor that we might have in the United States, whereas unreached means, like, they couldn't go out and buy a Bible in their language. They couldn't walk to the local church and hear about the gospel, that kind of thing, right?
Yeah.
Correct.
We say, like, your neighbor in the States is lost, but here there's entire groups, tribes of people that are lost without a compass. The compass is the Bible in their language that they can understand, a Christian living amongst them, a church they can go to and hear the word.
So there's people out there in the world who still, that just is not true for.
Yeah.
You could say Jesus and they say, what's that? Is that a new
soap? Is that a soap?
Correct. Yeah. I was out in the bush a couple of years ago speaking to a group and asked them if they knew who Jesus was and who God is, and they just had no clue.
They literally had not heard the word.
They had
Jesus.
Never heard the word.
Yep.
And their face, they were pulled a blank and had no idea who I was talking about.
Huh. That's insane. So how do you guys go about reaching an unreached people group? Like, what does that even look like? Because I think to our listeners, it might seem like an insane task. Like, how do you even find them in the first place? Like, how do you start? How do you make a contact? Like, what does that even look like?
And I don't know if you guys want to, as you start sharing that story, start with, why did you guys even think that you'd want to get involved in that? Maybe even from that end. Man, that's why we got involved, and now that we had a heart for it, what next?
I can take that first part of that, is that, for anybody who thinks that that is too big of a task or I can't touch that, I don't know what to do with that. I'm a small town girl from Illinois and never thought in a million years I would be over here doing this. Mm. It's through God, and it started by just hearing that the task wasn't finished, that there was people, unreached people, that didn't have the chance to know about Jesus. And that just pulled in my heart so much. And it's like, I don't care what it takes. We have to do something about that.
I just want to say that that is a really important point, I think, that we could not overemphasize. You guys are probably tired of me and Nathan. We're going to hit this drum until we die. That there is such a great need. I would consider it one of the absolute greatest needs of the world, which we say in general is more kingdom laborers. These are places where there are not a single kingdom laborer. There's not even one. And that people just have no idea. There's no understanding that I've traveled quite a bit, and I've noticed even a pattern, not only in the U.S. where we have all these resources and knowledge and unending opportunity, we have no idea about it. But then when you show up in some of these places and you go to a place where there is a church and there are believers who gather together, they do have a Bible, they may not know that they could drive 3 hours and reach people who've never heard of him. And so even in that context, it's like, wow, there's a lack of understanding and knowledge.
Yeah. And it was, we were taking the perspectives class, World Perspectives on the Christian Movement. And it was amazing. And it was in that class where it was like the big God story is happening, right? So God goes to the nation of Israel, and he's supposed to be, that's for the purpose of going to the other nations. They were supposed to be doing that task. And then, you know, when Jesus comes, he leaves us with the Great Commission, go out into all the world, all nations. And like, as that story unfolds and you watch the gospel spread across the map, and all of a sudden you realize there's these pockets that it's never been, it's never gone. Mm. It's like the task isn't done.
Right.
Like, pick up your baton and go.
Yeah. 2,000 years have passed, and still there's literally places on planet Earth that have never, ever, ever had a chance to hear the name of Jesus or his message.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's shameful.
Yep. I agree.
And it, well, and it's motivating, right? It's like, okay, let's do something about that. And God, we all know God uses everyday people.
Yeah. We've just been spending some time with these two over the course of the last 12 hours, and I can assure you they are filled with joy and people of service, but absolutely 100% normal.
I think you guys are kind of cool. But they're all of that to say is this doesn't take some specialized person to be able to do this kind of thing. Any person that says, I'm going to obey Jesus and embrace the call.
That's so true. I could speak into that a little bit, too, from my perspective as well. I grew up a missionary kid, and my parents were missionaries. And I went through college and some of my adult life, all with this view and perspective that I had to be some preacher up there, fire brimstone, preaching to be a missionary. Mm. And that is so far from the truth, it's not even funny. You don't have to be a preacher up in front of a congregation to be a missionary. You can be an engineer, you can be a doctor, you can be an athlete, you can be an environmentalist, a midwife, you can be any sort of calling, and God uses you to reach those people. So,
wow.
Yeah. I was a park ranger. So, yeah.
Hey, I actually think that skill set might work pretty well in this podcast. Yeah. So.
That's super cool. Yeah. How did you guys said that you've just recently, like, you're kind of wrapping up on the back end of reaching an unreached people group. Like, what kind of spurred you to say, hey, we want to reach this particular group? How did the Lord kind of put that on your heart?
Yeah, that was a combination of things. There was a team formulating up in Seattle area, and they contacted our church in Colorado and talked to our director, and we were put in touch with a team that was planning to go to an unreached people group in East Africa. And we had meetings and discussions, and we joined that group and came over. Yeah.
Wow. And what has that process looked like? Like, has it been easy?
Well, it was quite extensive. Some training with our agency and Avant Ministries, which is amazing. And there was some training involved. There was some planning, tons of prayer, tons and tons of prayer. And
if you guys hear wild sounds, it's because we are in East Africa.
Yeah, a lot of discernment and planning and prayer. Mm. And, you know, we a lot of preparation. We built partnerships for this mission. So we have about 83, 85 partners that help us do this. And through churches, communities, friends, family, that partner with us monthly financially to make all this happen, and ministry expenses and things like that. So there is some structure, there is some planning. You don't want to go out unequipped or unprepared, because you will crash and burn and you'll get eaten alive by Satan. The problem is, a lot we've seen, even in our 8 years here, a lot of people coming out unprepared, and they don't last, and they fail, and they go home, and they're very hurt and distraught and confused about the whole deal, and said, God, you know, I felt like I was called to do this ministry, but they came out like not prepared or equipped correctly. And we would strongly emphasize that. Therefore, you'll have a successful ministry instead of coming back to the States with your tails between your legs.
Yeah, because one of the things that I know is on your hearts right now is, hey, like, because there's so many people out there who have never heard Jesus, we need more. You guys need helpers, right? Yeah, like, there's not enough people here doing the work.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's a pretty simple task. It's not super extensive. You don't have to do 8 years of school or 8 years of college to be a missionary. Our training extent was up to like about 6 weeks of full-on classroom structure and training, and then a lot of stuff that you do at home on your own personal time.
Okay. So what kinds of things did you guys see God do in your, like, what kinds of cool things did you guys see God do as you were ministering to this unreached people group?
And actually, I want to jump in before you share that. So you say, great, God's leading us to this group, and we've got our training. What does it actually look like to show up and begin engaging them? How does that typically work?
Well, it's quite, go ahead, Cassie, if you want to long on, you know, culture, training, and language.
Yeah, that's part of the training is culture and language, right? So you can communicate well. But for us, I think it can look different among in different areas. But different for us, methods. It was just going and living amongst them. Mm. And so Scott went down first for myself and our kids. Lived in a tent for 6 weeks and built a very basic house out of materials that the locals use, right? So really living amongst them. And then just building relationships, getting to know them and saying, hey, do you want to study the word together? Mm. And just sitting down literally under a mango tree in the shade and just reading the word. And it was 3-4 people and everybody else kind of staring and looking, what are those new strangers doing? But it was really just the work of the Holy Spirit all the way through and calling people in, calling the right people in. We, of course, had to do a little bit of sifting as some people would come for, self-serving reasons. Yeah. But God worked all that out. And we were just, it was just like I was saying last night, just like just being there, just being present and God working through that and just letting his word and the power of his word touch people's hearts.
Go figure that the example Jesus gave of being up close to people would actually work.
Yeah, exactly. It's a good strategy. Yeah. Thanks, Jesus. So,
what belief system was this group? Was it like tribal, animistic, Muslim? What was the general belief system?
It was it's Muslim and traditional beliefs, animism, as well as a false Christianity being taught.
It's very nominal Christianity or Islamic faith, but the primary, like, overriding belief in their life is witchcraft and animism.
Okay,
like,
so that's what
everybody
they
hands
live
down,
by,
they live by, totally.
Did witchcraft ever affect you guys?
Yeah, they tried. Yeah. they tried putting curses on us and putting blood on our fences and fence posts, and we were warned that we were going to be poisoned by someone, so not to eat the food and that sort of thing.
That's pretty crazy stuff.
Yeah.
Like, so, did that freak you out ever?
It was a little bit nerve-wracking, but, you know, just the more we just dug into the Holy Spirit and asked the Holy Spirit to lead and guide us. For example, we couldn't let our children out of our sight, even for a minute, because we didn't want them to be poisoned by candy or juice or food or sharing chewing gum or plastic bags they would chew on and stuff, and that sort of thing passes disease, as well as they slip a little cyanide or poison into that, and so we had to be very cautious about some things. But we didn't let that deter us and stop us from sharing the gospel.
Did you tell them how we came home the one day and there was somebody had poured blood all over our fence post by our window?
Yeah,
oh,
did
my
you say
goodness.
That?
Yeah.
So I'm curious if you would share a little bit, maybe for those listening, when you say, hey, we're going to dig into the Holy Spirit and how he was guiding us, what did that look like? Like, how did you do that? So if somebody else is saying, man, that's awesome, how do I do that in my life? What did that look like?
What we typically do is we stay in the Word, we're in prayer, and we do fasting. And we do focused and pointed, intentional time with the Lord. And it seems counterproductive whenever we focus more and more on ourselves and our spiritual growth and our spiritual wellness and our connectedness to the Lord. But that's whenever ministry really took off. The more we tried to do, the more we kind of failed, if that makes sense. I know it's challenging, but we all want to do. We're all high doers. We're high functioning. We want to produce. But we went in with the option of living as a family there, doing local outreach through the Word, and if possible, we would do felt needs or any sort of enrichment classes for the people. And I'll let Cassie follow up on that as well.
Well, yeah, we were hoping that we had big plans for meeting felt needs and stuff. But like what he was saying, it's just do less, be more. Mm. And I think every crossroads that we came to, when a challenge presented itself, opposition or a decision that needed to be made, it went to prayer and fasting. Mm. And I always felt like, especially as a unit, whether it's a team or a couple, husband and wife, praying and fasting together, we would always just feel great clarity on our next move. And in that way, the Holy Spirit led the way rather than our own initial.
I love that. Do less, be more.
Yeah. That was the number one lesson we learned through the whole thing. Because it's God. It's God who changes hearts.
Yeah. So I'm just curious, with this being a group that has had a lot of witchcraft and them kind of threatening you guys, did you ever sense a spiritual attack? I mean, Satan wants to keep people groups in darkness, in the kingdom of darkness, and has for generations, and then you're coming in to bring the light. Did you guys ever feel like he was attacking you? And then, I mean,
yes. Not just once, yes, multiple times.
Multiple times, yeah. The witchcraft, the spiritual darkness, the spiritual warfare came in all sorts of forms, like not sleeping and having horrible dreams, actual demonic attacks via dreams and physically, and I'll explain that in a little bit more detail. We had ailments like sicknesses and boils and different challenges that came on to us at very key, significant times. We were taught to, and a very wise person, our director, told us that whenever you take land or you gain land for the Lord, Satan fights back and opposition will come back on you.
Yeah.
So one example of a demonic attack was Cassie had a dream. It was a very horrible dream, and she was being suffocated and strangled. And she woke up and she wasn't breathing and was being suffocated and she couldn't dream. And it continued on until she actually left our bedroom and went to the bathroom and into the bathroom before she kind of realized what was going on, She was being suffocated and she just started praying in Jesus' name. And immediately the suffocation and the breathing went back to normal because she was being choked by demonic powers, evil, by demons. Horrible dreams that I've had that keep me awake at night, and you can't sleep, and it fills your mind with all this terribleness, and it wouldn't go away until I prayed in Jesus' name.
Just goes to show that there really is power in the name of Jesus. Like, he really is the one with complete and utter authority. And we would encourage anybody listening that just because they're out on the mission field doesn't mean that the name of Jesus is more effective for them than it would be for you.
Yeah.
We've seen many, many times, even in the United States or Western nations or whatever you want to say, the name of Jesus is powerful and effective at any place, at any time on planet Earth.
And
correct.
Prayer is effective and powerful, as you guys are talking about. And I would say, too, we have to realize that the spiritual realm and reality, and when it paints the picture in the scriptures of light and darkness, it's not some cute, artsy illustration of like, oh yeah, they're lost, they're in the kingdom of darkness. No, this is real. This is legit. There are spiritual powers and forces of evil in the heavenly realm. Satan is the ruler, the prince of the air, of the earth, yet Jesus is more powerful and his kingdom is infiltrating, and that's a key thing to understand, I think.
So as you guys faced all these various trials, was there ever a time where... Sorry, I should probably rephrase this question. So as you faced all of these trials, it sounds like you guys came to the conclusion that even though it's really hard, the work is still worth it.
Correct, yeah. It was difficult and challenging, but it was also fun at the same time, because we do serve an awesome God, and he showed us the most amazing thing through, I believe, a question earlier that we didn't completely answer, but we saw miracles, we saw healings, we've seen life transformation, we've cast out demons, and people are free of demons. Amen. And now are living for Jesus, and their testimony alone, and all their surrounding family and friends that witnessed that and saw their life transformation, that alone right there is a huge witness and an effort by Jesus, the Holy Spirit, to reach other people by that one person. It's just, it's phenomenal to see life transformation in these people's lives. Stop abusing their wives, stop doing alcohol, stop going to witchcraft, stop putting medicine and dawa on their crops or around their houses to try to free them from spiritual darkness, like witch demons.
You're talking black magic medicine.
Yeah, it's all witchcraft. And branding their babies whenever they're born, or scarring them, or cutting them, or tattooing them. Those things have stopped happening with the believers that exist there now.
They're set free, no longer in fear. Yeah. That's amazing. Praise the Lord.
So, do you, either of you guys, have a favorite story of something you watched and witnessed God do among them? Or maybe several.
Oh, that's a lot.
Anything you want to share in regard to just God's power showing up and what he's done?
There's one that kind of makes me laugh sometimes. It's a guy that became a good friend of ours, and he was working on building the house with Scott, right, when we moved in. And he drank a lot. And he would come, and sometimes he showed up and he had had too much. And Scott was like, you know, I don't care what you do after work, but I can't have you come to the job site, still smelling like alcohol, and still it's not safe, and da-da. And he's like, yeah, okay. And then they were doing Bible studies every morning, too, so he told him during those times, like, that Jesus doesn't want us to lose our senses by drinking too much and this sort of thing. And he told him he was going to be praying for him. And so Scott was. He was praying for him that God would just reveal himself to him. And time went on. The house was built. We moved in. We're living there. It was like 2 years later. And Wilson comes over and he's sitting there talking with us. And we noticed that he wasn't drinking as much. But we had no idea why. And it was 2 years later, he told us that during that time he had had dreams. Three different nights, Jesus visited him in his dreams and was telling him that he shouldn't be drinking and that he should, clean up his life and this sort of thing. And we were like, what? Why didn't you tell us this? We're like, we were praying for you, Wilson. We've been praying for you for that.
He goes, I know you were praying for me.
Yeah, that was the thing. He looked at us and like, oh, I know you were. That's why I had the dreams. Like, for him, it was like a no-brainer. Yeah. Like,
what are you talking about?
Yeah. That's amazing.
Praise God.
But, yeah.
That was one. Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
Scott, you have another? Anything that comes to mind?
The demon... I never thought God would use me to cast out demons. And fortunately, through our trainings, we have this really nice spiritual darkness training to help us overcome that and to cast out demons. And so I followed that process, and we cast out demons of this one particular lady, Dorcas, and it was amazing. I don't care to ever do that again. It's just kind of scary, and it's really dark, and it's God used me twice to do that, but this one particular, the first time was very intense and crazy, and I've never witnessed anything like it before in my life, and it was amazing to witness and see, and seeing her freed of the demonic, and afterwards accepting Christ as her personal Savior, and then her life transformation from there on. It was, I've just never seen anything like that before in my life, and it was crazy.
How did you know that she was demonized?
We do a testing process, and through the power of the Holy Spirit, and we pray with them, and we ask them if they can or will accept the Holy Spirit and accept Christ as their Savior. And if they're not able to do that, and if they twitch, and it's the demons manifest themselves, because the opposition against the light, or which is Christianity, they manifest themselves. So they start twitching or screaming or yelling, or their face distorts, or they can't actually say the words, and or their tone changes, and it's actually a different person you're talking to. And they'll say, no, we don't want to accept Jesus Christ. Whereas just a few minutes earlier, they were saying, yes, they do. But it's kind of tricky. That's why you want some training in it and a good understanding of it beforehand. But we do a testing process to make sure.
For those listening, do you have a book or recommendation if somebody's just saying, hey, that's really interesting, I don't really know anything about it, is there something I could just read to help equip me?
No, not really. You would want some formal training and whenever it comes to demonic. You can read books on it and stuff, but I would suggest getting with people that have experience with it and getting a full-on proper training.
Yeah, I think that.
There's not one book that I would recommend for dealing with demonic and others and like casting out demons per se, but there is one when you're dealing with your own, like especially for new Christians. I was I became a Christian later in life, so I had a lot of colorful past that put a lot of junk into my life. And there's this book called Spiritual Warfare by Neil T. Anderson. I love it. And it's
The Bondage Breaker by him.
Okay. So
book.
So in the spiritual warfare one, it's basically a handbook you work through, and it gives you a list of inventories that you can look back at in your life and see if there's some strongholds that you can pray through. And again, we talked about the power of Jesus's name. It's just a matter of naming those things, and that in the power of Christ, he removes those. And I highly recommend that.
Yeah, but the actual task of casting out demons, I would want, you'd want to get some good thorough training with some good professionals that have experience.
Yeah, if you're saying, hey, I'm reading that book for myself. Another one I'll throw in is Freedom Tools by Andy Reese and Jennifer Barnett. And then you're going, okay, I kind of want to connect with somebody. Feel free to email us, and you can talk with us, or we can connect you with someone at fuelfortheharvest@gmail.com. So feel free to reach out on that topic if you guys want to. Anyway, so Scott, back to kind of, you're with this woman, and you're discerning, and you're kind of going through that process, and you realize, okay, there's some more darkness here. Then you just prayed, or you said the name of Jesus out loud, or was it 5, 10 hours, 30 seconds? If you're willing to share anything more about that.
Yeah, maybe just a little bit on that. Yeah, it was about a 30-minute process, but we followed the format that we had been taught in our missions classes on spiritual warfare. And it's a process that starts 3 days a week, 3 days before, and it has to do with counseling that person as well and making sure that you're actually talking to that person and not to the demons. And it takes experienced people to do that are with you. You don't do it alone. So we had a team of people that was very well organized, and the team has different tasks through praise and worship and through prayer during the process. And it's quite actually organized and extensive. But
the overview basically is like you're creating this environment of praise and worship and inviting this Holy Spirit to come in this place. So there's people singing, there's people praying, and there's one person leading it. And it just makes the demons eventually manifest themselves because they can't take any more of this praise going on for the true God, right?
Yeah.
As that happens, Scott, being the leader, speaks directly to the person. And if they can, they accept Christ. But in the power of Jesus' name, I command that the demons be gone.
Yeah.
And one by one, slowly working through that process until she has like an empty vessel, right? And then she's poised to receive the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit can come in and take up residence in her when she confesses Christ. And then,
And the clause behind this is, don't try this alone.
Don't try this at home.
Yeah. What was the TV shows, make sure you're with an adult or 18 and over, or,
that's a disclaimer on it.
A disclaimer, don't try this at home.
I'll agree with that. I say at least have another spiritually mature person who's a prayer warrior with you if you're going to dive into this, because I've also had, I don't know if we've ever talked about this on the podcast, but I've probably had, I can't even count how many times I've prayed with people in this regard now and seeing God do wild things, but also I just have to tell you something. They like to deceive. What would you know? Demons want to deceive, lie, kill, and destroy.
Yeah.
Satan's mission. And so it can get confusing sometimes and dark. And if you don't, it's taken me years to kind of figure out through time and time again, praying with different people. Oh, wow, that would have been helpful to know 5 years ago.
Yeah.
And so, like we said, we're happy to be a resource if you guys want to reach out on that topic. And as a, like, opening a, what's the word, like a box of...
Pandora's box.
We just opened up that one right there. So, but that's a really, I think it's a worthy topic, especially in regard to the mission of God for the world.
Yeah.
And, what... Anything else you guys would share if someone is thinking about missions and the unreached, what would you say to them?
Accept your calling and know that God is faithful and He will direct your path. And it's an adventure and there's nothing like it you can ever imagine. And just do it and commit to it.
Yeah, I would say that we are all called to share our faith and people in different parts of the world in different places, but don't let fear keep you from it. That's one of Satan's tools as well, and it's not of God. And don't put yourself in a box. Let God use you how He wants to, and I promise you it's the greatest adventure and the most thrilling and most exciting and most challenging and most amazing thing you'll ever do. Like, it just is.
He'll stretch you in ways that you'd never imagine. You're like, for example, I'm a school teacher. Well, you may not ever teach, but He's going to use you in amazing, mighty ways. Or He may use you as a teacher. Who knows? You know, but your commitment and your faithfulness to follow is key, and God knows your heart. So don't worry if you're not teaching. He's got something else in mind for you.
Coming over here, my two greatest fears were having to learn a second language and having to speak in front of people. Like, I would literally get nauseous and sick and things like that.
And what are you doing now?
What are you doing? So the way God used me in the last 7-8 years was to speak in front of people in that second language. Wow. I'm like, that's funny. Thank you.
Yeah. And His power was made perfect in your weakness.
That's right.
And
exactly.
People came to Christ. Amen. And He was glorified. Amen. And He started a church. And
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. The thing that I've heard from you guys over the course of the last 12 hours is it might be hard, but Jesus is worth it. And seeing people experience life transformation and up-close relationship with Jesus, it's all worth it. All the difficulties, all the spiritual warfare, all the living in mud brick houses, all of it, it's all worth it.
Yeah, it is. Absolutely.
And so now you guys, you briefly shared this, but this group, formerly unreached, has now been reached. There's a sustainable growing movement among them led by nationals, which really is the vision. That's the goal.
When we say nationals, we mean local people from East Africa.
Yeah, and from that people group.
Right.
Right.
Raised up indigenous leaders. Yep. So now you're kind of, it's like a transition to say, okay, let's start reaching more unreached people groups. Let's get more people involved, whether East Africans or Westerners, a mix of both. But always with a vision to see a movement happen among the people group and multiply and indigenous people raised up. I just want to say, is there anything about that vision you guys like to share? Or if somebody wants to get involved, obviously they can connect with us. Just for security purposes, we'll leave your information off of here. But if anybody wants to connect with us at Fuel for the Harvest, feel free. And then we can have a conversation, potentially connect you guys from there. But anything else you guys would share?
Yeah, if there is and they connect with you, we have internship opportunities.
Okay.
We have a shorter version of like a 2-week, what we call a vision trip, if you just want to kind of come and get a feel for what life is like over here and see where God might be wanting to use you. And then we also have longer ones, 2 to 4, even 6 months, internships. We have a guy here right now who's here for a year with us experiencing it and seeking the Lord's calling. So those are options, and we would love to host you and help you sort out what God's calling you to.
And these people are great people. You definitely want to come hang out with them. 100%.
Scott makes a good omelet.
He does.
I ate it this morning. And I will say, they like dirt bikes. So they do. They are fun, adventurous. So if you're like, I don't want to do anything boring, it's anything but boring.
Yeah.
We do life here too. You know, we ride mountain bikes. We ride dirt bikes. We have our family time. We go swimming. We still have life here as well. But we also have another life in villages and reaching lost. And and hard to reach and difficult areas. And some of them are towns and cities that are very difficult to reach. Options are endless and on ministry opportunities in East Africa. Mm. Some of them are dangerous and some of them are not quite so dangerous. But there's many, many different options. The first thing you have to do is commit and go. And
praise the Lord. Well, thank you guys so much for your time. It's been a huge blessing for us, and I'm sure it's a huge blessing for all of them. Thank you.
Thank you for the opportunity to share, and that's awesome. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you guys.
Well, thank you all for listening to this episode of Fuel for the Harvest Conversation.